Welcome to the Southside Community Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Hahn. We are located at 1815 South P Street in Elwood, Indiana. Visit us on Facebook. The link will be in the description below. Have a great day.
Pray for me this morning. My voice will hold out here. I don't know where I come across this ad, but I do this a lot. I write little notes. And it says here, it said, there is never any power in the present when there is no more hope in the future. How true is that? Huh? Praise God. Amen. All right, if you want to follow along with me here this morning in reading, I want to go over to Acts, book of Acts, chapter 4. I was just going to read one verse, but I want to read more than that to kind of bring it up today. Acts chapter 4, starting with the 5th verse. And then in my Bible, it's highlighted Peter's sermon to the council. It said, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that's Peter and John, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's the key, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and ye elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all. Now remember, Peter's speaking to the most powerful men in Israel. Okay? And he said, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved.
Amen.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed is a noble miracle that had been done by them, manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and ye, we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. Go ahead and judge us. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your words this morning. We're so thankful, Lord, for its power and its strength, God, and its guidance and its direction in our lives. We just pray, God, for a few minutes, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I feel weak this morning. Touch me and help me, God. There's so much in this passage of Scripture today, God, that we could preach many sermons out of it. But Lord, there's just one that you want us to focus on today. May God, the words be said that we need to hear, Lord. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The key verse in this, which was the only one I was going to read, is verse 13. Now listen to this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Here's the key. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning for the Christian. Jesus Christ is everything. Amen. He is in our life, huh? He is number one. Amen. He comes before anything else. And if we're living and following His commandments, huh? And we're praying and we're seeking the will of God in our lives, my friend, huh? I want to tell you something. The world's going to acknowledge that we're Christians. That we're true people of God. Amen. I didn't even know how I come across this scripture. I didn't even know what to preach upon. Huh? And it was Thursday evening, and I was looking at some things. And I come across this scripture. Huh? Amen. And they acknowledge that they've been with Christ. Preach on that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, I tell you, Christ or His witness here in this world. And there was never more of a time, huh? I'll get back to the subject here in a minute. There has never been a more time, huh? That the witness of Christ and the gospel and who Jesus is and what He could do for to change people's life. There's never been a day like today that it needs to be preached. Huh? The doctrine needs to be taught. I want to tell you something. We're running out of time. Huh? The devil has turned loose and he's trying to do all he can to deceive people and destroy their eternal soul. Huh? Well, I tell you what, the word needs to get out. Amen. Now, Peter and John, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they started going up to the temple to pray. Give you a little bit of background. And they were going up to pray because that was the hour of prayer. Huh? And that's what the Jews did. And they started to go in the temple. Huh? They started to walk in the temple. And there was a lame man laying there. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. Huh? He was probably paralyzed from the waist down. That's the way it sounded. Huh? He couldn't do anything. He couldn't move. And he laid there, huh, begging for alms, begging for money, begging for the necessities of life, huh, that somebody would have mercy upon him and give him some money, huh, so somebody could purchase him some food, huh, so he could go on living. You see, he couldn't work, huh? And there wasn't no welfare programs like there is today, huh? I mean, there was nobody to take care of him. And they said they carried him there daily, huh? And laid him at the gate of the temple, huh? And he was begging for alms. And he said that he was, we'll say paralyzed, it says lame, from his mother's womb, from the very time of birth. Huh? And now he's in his 40s, huh? And he's laying there.
Peter and John getting ready to walk into the temple to pray. They looked over at him and they looked down and he was laying there. And that scripture said they fastened their eyes upon him. I want to tell you something. Something was getting ready to happen. And Peter looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee." Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning. Our family and our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors and people we know are spiritually paralyzed in their sin.
Right.
They're not going to move. They can't get to God. There's nothing going to happen to them unless we do the prayer. Unless we do the praying and the brokenness for their souls, my friend, and witness to them and invite them to church, and hold them up in prayer, my friend. And then, my friend, we can say, in the name of Jesus, your life can be changed.
Yes, right.
You can become a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away and all things become new. But I'll tell you the best thing of it, it'll save your soul from hell.
That's
and
right.
Eternal damnation.
Preaching,
which the world's forgot about now, huh?
Yes.
Huh? There's no such a place. And in a lot of your churches today, my friend, they throw hell out the window and don't even believe in it anymore.
Right.
Huh? But I want to tell you something. God's word's full of it.
Amen.
Amen. Sound doctrine's been thrown out.
Right, sure.
Amen. Nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. But I want to tell you something. Scripture said Peter laid out his, took his right hand. You know what the right hand in the Bible means? That means power. Whenever you hear the right hand of fellowship amongst the believers, they had power together in unity. And he reached down and he grabbed that guy by his hand. That's why I say he's paralyzed from the waist down, because he could move the rest of it. He reached up and grabs Peter's hand. And Peter pulled him up. And he stood up. And it said his ankle bones, and were made well. And something else in there, I can't remember what it was. His legs, his feet, I think it was his feet and ankle bones were made well. And he stood up. 40-some years lame. Paralyzed. Could not walk nowhere. But now, in Jesus' name, he's healed. And the scripture said that he stood up on his legs, and he realized that God had healed him, my friend. And it said he started leaping and jumping, and praising God for what he had done for him. And he was praising and thanking God, my friend. And the people, listen, the people around there knew this guy. They come to the temple all the time. And they seen him every day. He lay there. And now they see him jumping around and leaping and praising God. Wow, I'm glad this morning that this thing's real. It's just not a story in the book. But God is in our lives today. He said, they looked at him and they were all amazed what they saw. They couldn't believe it. I'm going to tell you what, if we literally seen this with our eyes, we wouldn't believe it either. And they were amazed. And they seen him go into the temple and they wondered what had happened. How did this happen? Who was it? Well, it was Peter and John. And they ran up to Peter and John. And said, "How is this? How did this happen? This man that was paralyzed and lame, now he's walking." And Peter told him, he said, "Both of them did. How do you think by our own power and by our own strength that we done this.
Right.
It wasn't us, but it was God in us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
That caused this man to be able to walk again. And you know what they done? They preached the gospel. I mean, they laid it out just as straight and as narrow as they could to the people. And this is this Jesus of Nazareth. I want to tell you what he can do for your soul. He can save you and change you, huh? And make you do.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I'm going to tell you what. Scripture said they believed. Huh? And at one time, 5,000 were converted. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then they preached the resurrection of Christ. And the Sadducees there, they never believed in the resurrection. And those men of Israel, they didn't believe in Jesus. They were ignorant to some things because Christ said this, God said this was supposed to happen. But I want to tell you something. Their problem was, they were jealous. And they envied Peter and John. You see this morning, this is the human nature of man. All right, he wants to be in power and have control. It started from the very beginning. That's what all the wars down through the centuries has been. It's about power and control. Amen.
Amen.
And then in this little part here, in this little Israel over here, they come in. These men knew. They knew that Peter and John and the gospel of Jesus Christ was a threat to their authority and their way of life. Amen. I don't want to get into politics, but I want to tell you this. I thought this morning, you know what? It's kind of the same thing. I can see that. When President Trump ran for office, he was an outsider, He had nothing to do with politics, But when he decided to run for president, he told the people what he was going to do, And he wasn't a politician, He had nothing to lose. He was for America and the country, And the people liked it and seen it. What happened? He wasn't a member of the country club and the elite in Washington. And they hated his guts. Because he had a following and he still does. They don't want to be thrown out of power is what it is. And that's what it was here in Israel. Peter and John were a threat. And they took him up in front of the council. They had a meeting. And all those important men were there, They had their robes on, and they were rulers and judges of the people and of Israel, And they were, this wasn't going to go on, not under their watch, They was going to stop this stuff. And they asked him that question, He said here, by what power or by what name have you done this? I'm going to tell you that. It was a dumb question. Because he was going to get a true answer. And Peter gave him a true answer and said this was Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, Who you killed and nailed to a cross, you and Pilate, And the Romans. I'll tell you what, he's not there. He's resurrected. Amen. And it's by him we was able to do what we did to the paralyzed man. You see, they couldn't deny this. The people, there was 5,000 people saved. Hard telling how many other people were there.
Huh?
But they seen this and they knew it was a noble miracle. They couldn't deny it.
Here's what I want to get to in the message this morning. Amen. And this is this. It said here, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen.
Boldness. You know what boldness is? Huh? To give you the definition of boldness, that's courage. They had courage now to stand in front of whoever it was. The highest authority, the highest powers in the land, my friend, they had the courage to stand in front of them and tell them the truth, huh? And give them what Jesus Christ and preach Him. They didn't care what happened to them. Huh?
The scripture said you can destroy the body. Man can. And then you don't have no more power over Him. He's just dead and done. But the Lord can destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. And they had this boldness, this courage about it. Huh? And then not only that, listen. Huh? They acknowledged, huh, that they were, that they had no education. They were actually just dumb people, huh? Ignorant people. They had no education in the scriptures and in the Bible and all this stuff. I tell you what they was. They were just poor fishermen trying to make a living in this world. Huh? They never had anything. Huh? No knowledge really of God. They believed. They know the Old Testament, my friend. But they never had no power and authority. Huh? To be able to preach like this or have the boldness. You remember when Jesus was killed, they scattered like a bunch of scared rabbits and went everywhere else. You remember that? They were scared to death because they knew they were going to be next. Huh? They was going to kill them next. Huh? But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus came back and they seen the Christ, when He rose from the dead, they weren't afraid anymore.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They weren't afraid anymore. Their hope was restored. How their strength was restored. They were ready, my friend. Woo! That all the things that they lost, when they seen the risen Christ, they regained it again. Amen. Where did this come from? Huh? Where did they get this boldness? Where did they, huh? Where did they get, huh, this knowledge of the scripture? Where did it come from? Amen. I thought about that. Huh? It was right over here. In Acts 1. In chapter 1 and verse 4, it said this. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. Listen, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Right.
Amen. And when therefore they were come together, they asked Him this, about the restoring the kingdom of Israel. And He said unto them, He said, it is not for you to know the times nor the season which the Father has put in His power. But listen to this. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be My witness unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. This is the grandest, listen to me, the grandest thing, huh, in the New Testament is the power of the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling
and the disciples of Christ. And I'm going to tell you why. Amen. It was the greatest thing. Huh? That. What did they do? Before that happened, what happened? God said they was. Jesus told them they had to go up in the temple in the upper room to pray. And seek it and hold out till it comes. So what did they do? There was 120 of them. Huh? They got alone with God in that upper room. Huh? What did they do in that upper room? Huh?
I tell you what they done. They prayed. Huh? They sought God. They sought for this promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Huh? They were in one accord. They were in agreement with each other. This is the need that we have to have, huh? In order to do and fulfill the calling that God has called us to do. Huh? Jesus is gone now. He's ascended up to heaven. Huh? And he said, wait for this power. And this power is going to fulfill the mission of the church. Amen. Praise God. And he went up there and they prayed together. Huh? They sought God. They were broken. Huh? I thought about that. Huh? That can happen to us personally. Personally, we can get in the place, huh? In the closet, huh? And a closet can be not really your where your clothes are at, but the closet is described as a place where you get away from everything in the world. All the cell phones, huh? All the TVs, huh? All the noise of the world, huh? That anything that would come and bother you or distract your attention, huh? And get you straight away from what you're getting ready to pray about, huh? Getting ready what you seek about. Get in that closet, my friend, and pray and seek the will of God, huh? And that's what they did. And the power came. And it fell upon them, my friend, huh? And they received the power of the Holy Spirit, huh? And it was a power, my friend, that was from heaven that equipped them to preach the gospel and win the lost for Christ. Amen. And I want to tell you, when they accepted it and when they got it, it didn't matter to them, huh? Who was around or the threats or what was would happen to them if they said this or if they said that, huh? I want to tell you something. They went and preached the gospel with boldness, huh? With courage and with power. And I'll tell you another thing they preached. They preached it with fire. Huh? The scripture said the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven into the men of God that would preach his word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what we need, the preaching we need today, man.
Right.
That's Holy Ghost sent. Hmm? That's not of us, but of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, we hear so much about the Spirit. You know, we were born in the Spirit of God. That's what saved us. We could come but born again of the Spirit. I know I got to quit. We are born again in the Spirit of God. Huh? That's what changed us. All right. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, dwells in our hearts. How do you know that? We know it by His witness. Huh? He witnesses to us that we're His children. Huh? He guides our conscience.
Right.
Huh? He tells us what we need to do and what we need not to do.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Right?
Yes. Yes.
This is what this salvation's all about.
Right.
Huh?
Hello, brother.
How did that say that? Huh? As God, huh, is preparing the Christian
for a place for eternity. Listen to me. As he's preparing this place in heaven, he's preparing us for that place.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. You see what I'm saying? I tell you, all the dross and all the things that crowd and crumb our life up, my friend, he's burning off to make us pure gold.
Right.
Amen. You know, when they take gold out of the ground, it's not pure. Huh? It's got all them infirmities in it, my friend. That's why they run it through the fire. They had to burn it. I'm glad, huh? So for some of the trials that I've been through and some of the struggles that I have went through, God has helped me, my friend, and burn off the dross.
Right.
Burn off the impurities out of my heart. Amen. I'm closer to Him.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. What I'm talking about this morning, is being filled with the Spirit. When the Spirit is in control of your life. Amen. You see what I mean? There's a difference. I seen this and I read it and I studied it. It's the fullness of God in your life.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit comes in and He takes residence in your heart, my friend. And He controls you. You don't control Him. You don't control yourself anymore. My friend, you are full of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's what we need today, Christians that are full of the Spirit.
Amen.
To be a witness, my friend, to this lost and this dying world around us today.
Right.
Amen. The churches are drifting, my friend. They're drifting away. Huh? I've never been anywhere else. But in this church, my friend, for many years. But I've had other people been in a lot of different churches. Lately. And Brother Mark is one of them. He said, "You would not believe it." He said, "I don't even feel anything. When I go in that church, there's no Spirit in there." Why is that? I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. We got to stay close to God.
Right, that's right.
We got to keep the fires burning. Huh? Like I said, we don't have any, there's no power in the present, if there's no hope in the future. Amen?
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know I've missed a lot in this message. Lord, help me. But I tell you what, I got stirred about it. Thought about it. Amen. Let me read you a couple things here real quick. I might repeat myself. The vital thing that happened at Pentecost is that the Spirit of Jesus came to abide in the hearts of men in the power of God. That is the difference Pentecost made. Ye know Him, and He abideth in you, and it shall be in you. So the Spirit that brings life in Jesus into the soul, by Him we say, Christ liveth in me. What did Pentecost do for man? It brought the light of the gospel to the lost man of this world.
Yes.
There was a new power of conviction. It pricked the hearts of men, and the conviction centered on Christ, brought on by the Holy Spirit. What happened to the believers? Through this new fellowship and a new power in unity, it brings God's people close in relationship with Jesus. There is a power in the soul to witness for Christ to the lost, and a power to pray for the lost in brokenness of heart. In the Spirit that is good for all. That
which happened at Pentecost is the biggest thing that ever happened to the church. To carry out the mission to the world. And now, the biggest question of all is, has it happened to you and me? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Amen. I was thinking about this. And I'm going to take time quitting. This was the birth of the church. This is where the church began, right here. At Pentecost. Amen. The whole purpose, listen to me. The whole purpose of the church, the true church, okay? The one that was established here in the scriptures. The whole purpose of that, of the church is the mission of Jesus Christ to win the lost to Him. That's the only reason that we exist today is for that mission. Yes, we come together. We pray together. We have fellowship together. We sing songs together. Yes, and that's a great thing, and we get strength from that. But our mission is to win the lost for Christ.
Right.
Huh? I want to tell you something. These men would have never made it. They would have never made it had not been they've been filled with the Spirit of God. You see, that gave them power. That gave them strength. See, there was something in them that was beyond themselves. Amen. It was a work that they needed in them to be able to go out and do the work that God's called them to do. Think about the missionaries. John mentioned the missionaries this morning. Think about them for a minute. All that they do. How they sacrifice their lives. They don't have nothing. Huh? They go to foreign lands. Huh? To bring the mission of Christ, the gospel of Christ to them. Huh? They do without. Huh? Some of them are murdered. Some of them are tortured. Huh? Some of the preachers, my friend, their wives are raped and all kinds of things. They're treated terrible. Huh? But I want to tell you something. They got God in their heart and they're going to preach it regardless of what happens. Huh? I was telling John, I think it was John and Audie and Jason here a while back, I was reading that Voice of the Martyrs. And that guy was over there in Russia. And I might have told you this story. He was over there in Russia. It's always cold over there. Huh? And he ran an underground church. And they called him. Huh? Authorities called him, heard about him, found out where he was at. Took him and they put him in prison. Huh? He was in that prison. They was trying to get information out of him. They wanted him to deny Christ. Huh? But they wanted to get for him to inform them where all these other churches were at, underground churches. Because it's against the law over there, huh, to preach Jesus. And he said, I can't do it. He said, I can't do it. I'm not telling you nothing. Huh? So what they did, I don't know how many times they did this, daily, they took him outside in the middle of winter, huh, when the snow was on the ground and the ice was on the ground, huh? They stripped him down naked and took a water hose and sprayed him. Huh? Sprayed him with that hose. And he was so frozen, cold, and shaking and everything. Thought many times that he was going to die. And he fell down many times. And they checked his body, his pulse and everything. So what they done, they basically was torturing him and freezing him, huh, to the point of death. And then when he got to the point of death, then they backed off. Huh? They backed off. Took him back inside. Huh? Warmed him up. Fed him a little food. Until the next time. Huh? And the last time they done it, he said, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. He said, I said, I can't do it. I can't take it. He was crying and everything.
They were spraying him with that hose. His hair was froze up and everything. They were spraying him. He said, "Lord, I can't take it anymore." He said, all of a sudden, he said, the water coming out of that hose felt like warm, hot shower. The same hose, my friend, the same water that was freezing him, my friend, turned warm and hot and covered him. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a God, that'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
If we commit to him, he'll take us through. And I'll tell you what, that guy, he lived through it and they let him go. Some of them haven't been that lucky. Some of them's heads have been cut off. Some of them's been hung, beat to death, tortured, burned up, tied to a stake and burned. But I want to tell you something. Now, I read that. I never forgot about it. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I felt like I was in a shower, basically at home, where the warm, hot water was overflowing me. And he said, I knew it was God. And he said, I shouted the victory.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. And I know I got to quit and I missed a lot here. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was limited. Okay? He come in a measure that God had him to come in. He come to the prophets and to the people in a measure. And then at that measure, wherever it was, he could not go any higher or any longer. He just went to that point. But I want to tell you something. In the death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, it is unlimited.
Right.
The Spirit now has no limitations. Amen. Thank God for the blood.
Yes.
There's no limitations on the Spirit that's working through His people today. My friend, it's unlimited what He can do. Amen. Ain't you glad for that this morning?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. I'll tell you what. I thought of what Audie was talking about. You know, we're living in this time. People and their thoughts. The people are so worldly. You know, they can say all they wanted to about that guy. But if he turns around and says something, then they're going to get mad and take him to HR. So it's all right for them to say something, but it's not all right for us Christians to say anything.
Right.
That's where it's coming to. And it's getting worse all the time in this country. But I want to tell you something. Stand up for the Lord. And he'll stand up for you.
Right.
Amen. I want to tell you something. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. Because of why? Because there's power in it.
Yes.
Power into salvation for everyone who believes. Amen. There's strength. I want to tell you, I don't know. I've witnessed the people, talked to them, invited to church, guys I run into, and gals. We got more females working for us now than we ever did. And I want to tell you something. I'm not the judge, but I know people by their fruits. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. They are lost. They are lost, and their lives, my friend, are in turmoil. They're not happy. They'll marry, and live with this woman a while, or she'll marry and live with this guy for a while, and then they get a divorce. And they're looking for something else, Something's not satisfying, Then they'll marry again, Then they'll, you know, they have kids. There's his kids, her kids, and our kids anymore. That's not the way it's supposed to be. With all that baggage, and if that's the word to use, comes trouble, comes heartaches, comes hatred, comes a lot of things that are sinful. Amen. All you got to do is just tell them that Jesus loves you and wants to change your life and make you a new person. You know what I like to say in a testimony? I like to tell them this. If you'd like to start your life all over,
Just forget about everything that you ever done, every mistake you ever made, huh, the people you wronged, huh, and all the wrong and the sins you've done. How would you like to just start over and just put all that in the past? Huh? Sorry. Put all that in the past, huh? And start a new life. And you can. In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Huh? When the Lord hung on the cross, huh, and shed his blood, huh? What did the songwriter say? My sins were nailed to his cross.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Songwriter said there's power in the blood. We preached about the blood last week. And there is power. Amen.
Yes, sir.
In the blood of Christ.